text on the Lord's Day. But tonight we continue in our serious study of the Psalms. One of the joys of doing serious studies is that you find the Lord leading you according to His revelation, and very often you find that the word that is brought to you as you read sequentially and serially is appropriate for the occasion. Many of us have experienced that very often when we were young believers, how the Lord brought the scriptures to our minds to encourage us in various circumstances, and how He repeats the various truths over the day. We may hear it, we may read it in the morning, and then in the afternoon we hear it from someone else. In the evening, we may read it somewhere else, and so on. So the Lord, by His providence, bring His word to us in a way that applies to us. I think this psalm that we are considering this evening also have a certain important relevance to our present situation. Psalm 52. To the chief musician, Maskil, a psalm of David. When Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue devises mischiefs like sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusteth in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in a house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Amen. Well, Psalm 52 was penned at a time when David heard the news that Doeg the Edomite had reported to Saul that he had seen him in the house of Ahimelech, the priest. David was at that time in the service of King Saul as one of his army captains or general. Saul had become very jealous because David was doing very well in all the battles he went out to fight. And he had become particularly popular amongst the women who sang praises about him. And so Saul wanted to kill him. When David finally confirmed that this was Saul's intention, he decided to run away. One of the first places he ran to was to Nob, the city of the priests. There he would meet with Ahimelech, who was at that time looking after the tabernacle of God and the services thereof. David lied to Ahimelech that he was on a mission on behalf of Saul. And he said that because the king's business required haste, they did not have time to bring any weapons or any food. And so Ahimelech gave him the showbread that was left on the table for worship of the Lord, and also gave him the sword of Goliath. But Doeg the Edomite happened to be there. David, as we read in the accounts, had an uncomfortable feelings about it, but he did nothing. Subsequently, he was told David that Doeg had reported about his meeting with Ahimelech to Saul. And Doeg, they even lied that Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for David. Saul would summon Ahimelech and his entire household, and then he slaughtered them by the hand of Doeg. Then they would go down to Nob. There they slew the entire city, men, women, and children, and even the animals. By the providence of God, one of the sons of Ahimelech, Abiathar by name, managed to escape, came to David, and brought those terrible news to David. I'm not sure if it was at this point when David wrote this psalm, or whether it was written earlier before he got the news of that massacre at Nob. But in any case, this psalm focuses on the malicious tongue of Doeg, because it was Doeg's tongue that resulted in the great calamity that followed. It is a psalm that points us to the suffering of the Lord under the paw of many malicious, wagging tongues. Some ready to accuse him, some spreading lies about him, some mocking him, some expressing hurtful opinions, etc., etc. We may entitle this psalm, "The Righteous One's Hope in the Sea of Malicious Tongues." And it is a psalm that may be used by all righteous ones, believers united to Christ, who are suffering under similar circumstances. I agree with Andrew Bonar that it was natural to place this psalm after Psalm 51. Indeed, I think it is by divine appointment. The reason is that anyone who experiences the trauma that is described in Psalm 51 or something like that will probably experience also the aftermath, which is the kind described in Psalm 52. No doubt, even after David repented of his sin and found forgiveness in the Lord, a multitude of people continued to clamor after his blood. Many of these would act like Doeg. So this psalm is particularly fitting for the encouragement of any one of us who may be in a situation where we have to face many malicious, wagging tongues after a traumatic fall and deliverance by the Lord. Let's look at this psalm briefly. This psalm has three stanzas according to the division created by the selahs or pause. In the first stanza, verse 1 to verse 3, the malicious talker is condemned for his wickedness. In the second stanza, verses 4 to 5, the malicious talker is warned against what he's doing with reference to the judgment to come. And finally, David reflects on his exasperation in the hearing of the Lord and his church. It's verse 6 to the end. Consider first the condemnation. Verse 1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue devises mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Now Doeg was a mighty man in so far as the world was concerned. He was powerful and strong. To be able to slay so many people, he must have been very strong. And he had access and influence with the king. He could be of great use in the kingdom of God if only he would humble himself to serve the Lord. Instead, he lifted up himself and took pride in doing evil. He was one who was a flattering supporter of Saul to the degree that he was willing to kill off those who did not support him, to slaughter the priests whom Saul thought was supporting David. A strong man using his talents, strength, power in rebellion against God. What a contrast to God, who is perpetually good, whose goodness endures continually. He is a man who would oppose the Lord. Everything that a man does, he does in the service of God, in opposition to God. Doeg was an enemy of God. He used his tongue to devise mischief, to cause trouble, to destroy and to cut down. He had no qualms about speaking lies to accomplish his intentions, for he loved evil more than good. He cared not to speak righteously. He cared not about peace and edification. He cared only to look good in the eye of that king who no longer have regard for the Lord and his righteousness. I know, beloved brethren and children, that there are no Doegs in our midst. But I know also that as God's children, we will have occasions where we will face Doegs. Whether at work, school, or elsewhere. Our Lord was faced with many. They slandered his name, they spoke lies against him, mocked him, cast doubts about his character, clamored for his blood. Shall we who are his disciples be spared from these trials? The Lord himself said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And so let us be prepared to face our Doegs. We cannot do anything to them except to commit them to the Lord. They will speak against us at every opportunity to get their hand on. They will express their opinion in a grapevine of gossip. And our fall is known publicly, then they'll use their tongues in a public way. Maybe in a company, to tell everyone about it. You see how it is. When the righteous fall, the wicked would often take advantage, because you make them look better in the sight of the world. So they use the means to propagate their views. Today we have papers, internet, chat rooms and forums. Like Doeg, many of these do not really care about facts, not to mention about compassion. They want their opinion to be heard, They want things to be done their way. They would clamor for blood. I've seen that so many times, because I don't subscribe to the Straits Times nowadays. I read it electronically, and nowadays they put a remark, or a reader can put in their thoughts after that news report. And over again, I see these kind of things happening. I wrote to the editors and said, how could you allow these kind of things to be reported to spoil the reputation of the nation? And things that are totally unjustified comments being put up. But they have this idea of free speech. And so Doax is allowed to wag his tongue. And so, beloved brethren, let us not be surprised or overtaken with grief and guilt when that happens to us. We must commit ourselves to the Lord. David acknowledged that he had contributed to the slaughter at Nob. He must have pricked his conscience. I think for days he will have grief, much grief in his heart. But he knew that he had no malice when he went to Ahimelech. The malice was in Doeg's heart and tongue. It was Doeg who was the cause of the slaughter at Nob. So David could with a clear conscience speak out against Doeg. And so too, if we are not guilty as charged by our critics, we may indeed plead with the Lord against these who wag their tongues. But let anyone who perpetuate evil with his tongue take heed. God is not mocked. Listen therefore to the admonishment or the warning in the second stanza in verse 4. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. The deceitful tongue loves to devour or to destroy. Words can hurt. Words can tear down. Words can destroy lives. So the tongue can effect terrible things, like in the case of Doeg. As James put it, the tongue is a small member, the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Doeg told a half-truth about David's visit to Ahimelech. It resulted in a slaughter, the massacre at Nob. So too we must be mindful of how easily our tongue can cause great pain and sorrows. So it must make us extremely reluctant to use our tongue loosely, especially to use our tongues to express negative opinions and opinions about things for which we do not have a full picture of. Think about how much talk there has been on the internet about the escape of the terrorists. Maslama. This news spread all over the world. Everyone is interested in that subject now. How many have clamored for the resignation of certain government offices? How many have written and spoken about conspiracy? How it is a means to turn attention away from other things, and so on and so on. Multitudes have offered their opinions as if their opinion really matters. And they want to be heard. And they want others to not think that they are correct, they are true. Not only Masulamat, but other cases. Many tongues are wagging. Many tongues want to be heard. Many suppose that they are wiser, more righteous than those who are involved, or the government, or the judges, and so on. But we must take care not to fall into the sin of the tongue, by which we use half-truths and tear down and destroy. We must be especially careful, lest by our tongues we touch the apple of God's eye. Lest by our tongue we condemn those whom God has justified. For when that happens, God will vindicate and condemn. Verse 5. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. If a tongue destroys a child of God, God will destroy the tongue forever. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and it is set on fire of hell, says James. God is a very jealous God. God's children can take comfort that God himself will vindicate them and will take action against those who by their tongues seek to destroy his children. Those who use their tongues against God's children, especially when they know them to be believers, should take heed to know that he who requires us to give an account of every idle word will not leave words of destruction unpunished. He will punish in the day of judgment. He may even punish in this life. He will punish that the righteous may see and fear. This is part of the reflection of David on this matter, as we see in the final stanza. The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusteth in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. He who speaks proudly against God's children, without, as it were, giving face to the God they serve, can expect a very severe public judgment against them. They may even use their tongue in such a way that there's part truth. Like Doeg. Part truth, not entirely false. They may even use their tongue on an occasion that is in some ways brought about by God's children in a moment of foolishness, or like David, because he had lied to Ahimelech, and Ahimelech had supported him. Maybe that there's some reason for them to say something about it. But yet, they speak against God's children in a way that brings destruction, without consideration for the God they serve. They will expect the Lord to deal. God is a jealous God who loves his children. They may laugh. These who are like Doeg may laugh at the righteous in this life. They may mock at them for trusting the Lord. They may call them all sorts of names. And they may boast of themselves that they can do all things without the Lord. But the last laugh is always reserved for God's children. The Doegs in the world will face everlasting destruction. In contrast, God's children will enjoy the blessings of the Lord in this life and the life to come. Read in verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Who is this I who is like a green olive tree? Well, this I could refer to David. It could refer to Israel or the church. But is it not the case that Christ alone can most fittingly appropriate these words? He is indeed like a green olive tree in a house of God. He is perfectly righteous, perfectly fruitful. It is in union with him that a church may be known as the olive tree. In Romans 11, the visible church is not a perfect green olive tree. He has many branches that have decayed, many fruitless branches that need to be trimmed. But Christ is forever a green olive tree, and so too are the elect united to him in the church invisible. So that what can be said by Christ our Lord may be said by the elect. Because his righteousness covers his elect. In the doctrine of justification, we appear as righteous in the eye of God. That is the reason why the Lord vindicates us. Because indeed we are not good enough. If it were not for the doctrine of justification, it doesn't make sense for the Lord to be jealous about us, to defend us. We thank God for our Lord Jesus. Our Lord was slandered and mocked. But he did not allow the pain and sorrows to hinder him from God's work. He remained fruitful as a green olive tree. So too, all united to him must be like him, not allowing pain and sorrows to hinder us from the Lord's work, but to remain fruitful in him. And notice how the Lord recognized that all things, including the painful ones, came from the hand of the Lord. This is how he concludes the psalm, verse 9. I will praise thee, Father, God. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it. I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. This statement seems so out of place. So that it were it not for the content of what is said, we may think that the thee that refers to Doeg. No. This thee is referring to God. In the context of this psalm, David had just experienced the wickedness of Doeg. Likewise, the Lord, who inspired David by his spirit, had to endure the malicious wagging tongues of the unbelieving Jews, which eventually led him to the cross. And yet, this psalm concludes with a word of praise. A word of praise for what the Lord had done. It's a word of praise coupled with a statement of trust in the Lord. How could this be possible? Something so terrible. And yet, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. How can it be possible that in the context of such calamity, such grief and sadness, there can be the word of praise and thanksgiving? Can only be possible, isn't it, beloved brethren? Because of a firm recognition of God's sovereignty and goodness in everything. So it is for us, beloved brethren and children. We may lament about the things that have happened in our life. We may lament about the actions of others that bring pain and sorrow to us, that add burden upon burden to us. We may take comfort in God's word that He will vindicate. We may sing words of imprecation and warnings which our Lord has given us, such as in this psalm. But ultimately, we must not allow anger and discontentment to eat into us. That is always a temptation, isn't it? In the times of our grief, when someone comes along and adds grief to us, by those words like doek, or say something that is not true, false, or half-truth, and cause more grief. The temptation is to be angry. The temptation is to be discontented. But we must not allow it to happen. We must rather learn from the Lord to turn our eyes to the Lord and see that the Lord is good, and that it is He who brought all the sorrows and all the pain, that every moment of what has happened and is happening is in the sovereign hand of God. Not just in the great things, but in the little things. Not just in the things that bring us cheer, but in the things that bring us sadness. All things are in the hand of the Lord, bringing to pass good for His children whom He loves with an everlasting love, whom He will defend from those who are like Doeg, who use their malicious tongues to destroy, to cut down. So let us trust in Him, wait upon Him. Have you been hurt by the tongues of men, beloved brethren? Do not allow yourself to become despondent or even to be tempted to take revenge in any way. Leave the matter to the Lord. Trust that He will see to your vindication. Trust that you see to your good. Go to the Lord Jesus for comfort. Sing the words that He has provided for you. He will sing with you. He is your compassionate high priest. He was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. He understands. He understands your pains. And He cares. He went through a much more terrible time in a sea of malicious wagging tongues. He went through something that none of us can fully appreciate. For in Him is no unrighteousness whatsoever. Shall we not learn from Him to trust in the Lord, to know that it's good? Shall we not learn to commit all things to Him with thanksgiving in our heart, for it's worthy of our praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Now shall we sing this song? I think we can sing the whole psalm, Psalm 52.